Blog Talk Radio.
Where are you now when darkness seems to end? Where are you now when the world is crumbling? Oh, I hear you say, I hear you say, look up, child.
Christian Podcast Network, your global transformation station. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Sister for this Wednesday, August the 5th, 2020. At the top of the program, you heard Sister Lauren Dangle singing Look Up, Child. Now, I'm your host, Bishop Shalene Cook, and I'm here with my wonderful sister and co-host, Evangelist Michelle Scott. And as always, we begin each and every program with a word of prayer. So won't you bow with us as Sister Michelle takes us to the Lord in prayer. Amen. Sister Michelle, well, Jesus, you know what? The enemy is a liar, and we are just going to move right on along. Hallelujah. Our sister usually opens us in prayer, but she must be having technical difficulties, so we are just going to move on. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Most gracious and heavenly Father, we just come now before your throne of grace. First and foremost, thanking you for yet another opportunity, Lord, to go out over the airwaves. Lord God, we come praying right now for the technology. We just pray in the name of Jesus that you would allow everything to work correctly, every phone line, Father God, to work correctly, everything to play back correctly, Father God, in the name of Jesus, so that your word might go forth, Father God, in a mighty way. Now, Lord God, we just pray for our listeners on tonight. We pray that they receive a word because, Lord, we're not here for our agendas. We're not here just for our issues, but we are here to bring your holy word to your people so that those that are hurting may be lifted up, Father God, so that those that are hurting might be restored, so that those who don't know you and the pardon of their sin might come to you, hallelujah, asking you to be their Lord and their Savior. And, Lord, we just pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen, and to God be the glory. Hallelujah. Well, I pray that my sister gets her technical difficulty straightened out there. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, amen, amen. And we're just so glad that all of you are here on tonight. As I have said, yes, my sister is in the house, praise God. Hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. On tonight, we are going to take a break from some of the racial issues because we know that they exist and they are there. And tonight, we are simply going to talk to some of our people who are hurting. I have been dealing with a lot of people over the phone who have made it clear that they are dealing with a lot of guilt and a lot of grief, and a lot of them are holding grudges. So tonight we want to present to you a discussion, teaching and a discussion, so that you might begin the healing process in the name of Jesus, because it is so right now with this pandemic, people are already on edge. People are already, really wound up. So we just want to bring you talk to you tonight about a couple of areas of healing that might help you. And I'm going to come tonight from a very familiar passage of Scripture so that there will be no mistake what we are trying to share with you. And it is the 23rd Psalm. And it simply reads, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Now, my sisters and brothers, this scripture brings me the most joy. It brings me the most comfort in the times of trouble, because it reminds me of the great God that we serve. We serve a loving and heavenly Father that covers us and keeps us and leads us by his awesome power. So, because, as I've said, so many of us seem to be going through these three G's, we're going to talk about them tonight, and we're going to talk about overcoming some of these damaged emotions, such as guilt, grief, and grudges. Now, when I read the 23rd Psalms, all I can think of is, like it says in the words of an old Negro spiritual, ain't that good news? Because I don't know about you, but I know that there are many times when I have needed my very soul to be restored. In fact, there are times when we all need our souls to be restored. You know, we get hurt. And I'm not just talking about physically, but we get hurt emotionally and we get hurt spiritually. Life is just tough. We get beat up. We get discouraged, depressed, and disappointed. We have failure, fatigue, frustration, and fear. We all have hidden hurts from our past. We carry wounds, battle scars, and emotional garbage. But I came tonight with some good news. Because when we feel like damaged goods, when we feel like we've been beaten down, and when we feel like we've been beaten up, God wants to restore our very souls. And you're asking, well, how does he do that? How does he restore our souls? Well, the first three things is he's going to make three changes in our lives. He's going to remove the guilt. He's going to relieve our grief. And then he's going to replace our grudges with love. That's how the Lord restores our souls and he helps us to overcome, because nothing destroys a soul faster than guilt. When we look at what Psalm 38 says, it says, my sin have flooded over my head. They are a burden too heavy for me to bear. My wounds are foul and festering because of my foolishness. See, that sounds like a person that is truly ridden with guilt. But there's two problems with guilt. We all have plenty of reasons to feel guilty. That's the first one. And the second one is simply we can't get away from it. So you might be asking yourself, well, Bishop, how do we deal with this guilt? Well, there are a lot of options. We can deny it. We can try to pretend it doesn't exist. We can try to bury it, but that doesn't work because that thing is still alive. Denying guilt doesn't deal with it. Well, you might be thinking to yourself, we can minimize it. We can say, it's no big deal. Well, we know good and well that it is. If it was no big deal, we wouldn't be talking about it. If it was no big deal, we wouldn't still be remembering it 50 years later. If it was no big deal, we still wouldn't be talking about it. We would have forgotten about it. So why can't we move beyond it? So we know minimizing it doesn't work. Well, then we might think, well, we can just rationalize it. We can say, everybody does it. But we know good and well that isn't true. Everybody doesn't do it. And even if they did, it doesn't make it right. When I try to rationalize things, when we try to rationalize things, that's when we put our head over our heart. But the heart should always win out. Because, see, here's another way to look at rationalize. What you're really telling to yourself are rational lies. But the most common thing that we do with guilt, we all know this, and this is why so many of us are hurting and we're mad and we're angry and we're grieving and we're tired. It's because we beat ourselves up with guilt. We administer self-punishment. And you know why that is? We don't see ourselves as God sees us. See, we allow that guilt to cause us to feel less than human. We don't feel like we're worthy of God's love. We don't feel like we're worthy to be used. We don't have any importance. We don't see ourselves important. We look at ourselves like we don't deserve to succeed. So we live in our guilt, and we respond from our guilt, and we operate from our guilt. But none of these things work. There is only one solution for guilt, and that is we have to give it to God. We have to cast our cares on him. We have to humble ourselves under his mighty hand, and we have to give that thing over to him so that he can restore our soul. And if you have your Bible and you see where that word says, He restores my soul, you need to circle that. Because, see, only God, only through Christ Jesus can we be restored. The most basic truth of Christianity is that Jesus has already paid for our sin. Everything that we've done wrong has already been paid for. All the stuff we've done, all the stuff we're going to do, all our sins have been paid for. The screw-ups, the mess-ups, the accidents, the mistakes, the boo-boos, the blunders, and even the fumbles have all been paid for. That's why Jesus went to the cross, to pay for our sins. You see, no psychologist, no psychiatrist, no sociologist, nobody can remove our guilt because they don't have the power to forgive our sin. Priests don't have the power to remove our guilt or absolve us of our sin. Only God can do that. Only the good shepherd has the power to restore our souls. So some of you who are living in guilt, who are listening to the sound of my voice, who are feeling like you're less, who are feeling as though, you know, God can't ever possibly love you, you might be saying, well, Bishop, how do I get this forgiveness from God? You get it by giving your life to Him and then by trusting Him. And listen, beloved, you don't have to beg God. You don't have to bribe God. You don't have to play let's make a deal with God. You don't have to bargain with God. You just have to believe God. You just have to trust God and accept that Jesus went to the cross for your sin. You can lay that guilt down. Stop carrying it around. Stop weighing yourself down with the pains of guilt. Right now, you need all your strength to be an effective witness for the Lord, and you can't be that if you're dragging your guilt around with you. Now, some of you might be saying to yourself, well, look, Shalane, look, Bishop Sherilyn, I trust in Jesus. I believe in Him. But I still feel guilty. Well, if you're feeling that way, that means you don't understand the forgiveness of God. Let me tell you something about God's forgiveness. It doesn't have conditions on it. You see, when God forgives, His forgiveness is immediate, it's free, it's complete, and it's unconditional. And you need to know and understand that that forgiveness takes care of our sin the first time we ask. John, 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And if you, you know, when you think about that scripture, you need to circle the word all. Because when we stop and think about how much sin has God cleansed us of, it's not a part, it's not some, it's not a smidgen, it's not a bit. No, God cleanses us of all our sins. When you get your phone bill and you pay it in full, and you know there's money in the bank, you know the check is good, do you still worry about that? No. The moment you pay the bill, you stop worrying about it. You know it's paid. Well, on the cross, Jesus said, it is finished. It's paid for. It's over and done with. So I want to ask you tonight, what are you still worried about? If God forgives your confessed sins, shouldn't you? Shouldn't you forgive you if God has forgiven you? If God has thrown your sin as far as the east is from the west, shouldn't you forgive yourself? You're walking around because of something you did 20 years ago, 30 years ago. We got sisters walking around feeling guilty because they had to have an abortion, or they had to give up a child to adoption, or they had, you know, maybe they were molested. But when they went and told, they were made to feel as though somehow it was their fault. So all this time, you've been walking around with this guilt, like you've done, you're still doing something. But you need to let God restore your soul. And then we need to let God relieve some of our grief. We're going through so much right about now with this pandemic and everything and all this stuff to worry about. Are our children safe? Are we safe? Is the food that we're eating safe? Are we going to have enough food? You know, there's just one thing after another. Grief, grief, grief. And then a lot of us, we grieve because of what people have done to us. Sometimes we suffer when we see other people suffer. But we need to know and understand that we're not in heaven, we're on earth, and we hurt. And sometimes we feel lonely, and sometimes our heart is broken, and sometimes we experience sorrow, loss, and grief. But the Lord still restores our soul. You know, King David was very acquainted with grief. I know you guys remember the story in 2 Samuel chapter 12. We are given some tips on how to handle grief. Remember, David had committed adultery with Bathsheba and had her husband killed. Then he walked around and carried the guilt until he confessed it all the way over there in Psalm 51. Oh, and if you're dealing with guilt, Psalm 51 is a good psalm to turn to. But we all know that, no, our Bible knows that's not the whole story. Because we know that Bathsheba became pregnant. She had a baby boy, and when it was born, it was very sick. And David grieved over what he had done. He fasted and he prayed and he said to God, God, the baby has done nothing wrong. I'm the one who messed up. I'm the one who made the mistake. Save the baby. He has done nothing wrong. But the baby died anyway. So what did David do with his grief after the baby died? Well, he did three things. The first thing he did is he accepted what he could not change. If the Father calls one of our loved ones home to glory, we can't change that. If someone treats us wrong or hurts us, that's choice. We can't change that. Even the Heavenly Father has given them free will choice. Let's look at what David says in verse 22. He said, this is in 2 Samuel, excuse me, chapter 12, verses 22 through 23. And he said, while the child was alive, I fasted and wept, for I said, who can tell whether the Lord will be gracious to me, that the child may live? But now he is dead. Why should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me. You see, David had to accept his accountability for what he had done. But then it goes on to say in verse 24 that then David comforted Bathsheba, his wife, and went to her and lay with her. So she bore a son, and she called his name Solomon. So what we need to do when we are grieving is we need to focus on what is left and not what is lost. You know, we lose a loved one, especially probably when we're losing, you know, if you lose a child, you know what I'm saying? You're thinking, oh, wow, you know, my child is gone. I'll never see my child grow up. I'll never see him get married. But you have other children. So, you know, you need to focus on what is left and not just what is lost. So that's what David did. When we're going through, if we want to release this grief, we need to accept what we can't change, and then we need to focus on what is left and not what was lost. And then we have to turn to God. He says in Psalm 51:11-12, do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me by your generous spirit. If we grieve, we're going to remain a prisoner to that pain until we turn it over to God and let him restore our soul. See, God delivers us from a lot of things, but we choose to hold on to it. We choose to carry our guilt around. We choose to carry the grief around. We choose it. There's a lot of people that have been delivered. God has brought them through the process, you know, and they still hold on to it. But then there's some of us, the reason that we're struggling is because we haven't properly grieved some things. Maybe you were a little girl and you were molested. You never thought to grieve the death of your innocence. You never thought to grieve the death of that trust that you had in that older person. Because many times it happens through a loved one or someone that's close to the family. When you're 7, you don't know how to grieve those things. All you know that is that you have pain. But see, what you got to do is you got to turn that little girl over to the Lord. You may be 50-something years old, but you got to go back to that time and turn that little girl over to the Lord and let the Lord minister to her and comfort her. And then a lot of us are just holding on to grudges. We're mad. We're just mad. You know, where people did things to us 4,900 years ago and we're still holding on to them. We get mad at them. Oh, I'm telling you. And we just won't let that anger go. And you know what the sad part about it is? Many times the people that hurt us, they didn't plan to hurt us. It wasn't intentional, but we got hurt just the same. So we develop grudges, and we won't let them go. You know, it does absolutely no good to feel guilt when we have hurt people or to feel grief when we have suffered loss, and we continue to hold on to grudges when someone has caused us pain. Because guess what? In this world, we're going to get hurt. Like I said, life isn't fair. We're going to suffer pain. We're going to get bumped, bruised, scratched, scraped, and dinged up in this world. And how we handle it will either make us bitter or it's going to make us better. The difference between the two is I. How will I respond? Because that's what God is always going to be looking at. So what do you do when hurt is piled up? What do you do with all the emotional garbage? You can become angry with the people who have hurt you. You can hold a grudge. But look at what Job 5:2 says. For wrath kills a foolish man and envy slays a simple one. Why? Because wrath, revenge, and envy are all self-destructive. They don't hurt the other person. They hurt you. You know, trying to deal with people through wrath, revenge, and envy is like you drinking poison waiting for them to die. It doesn't work. You know, we have to learn how to manage broken relationships, and sometimes we got to realize that God has broken that relationship for a reason. You know, people, we can't hold on to our past. We can't deal, you know, we can't sit around being mad for something that someone done, had done to us 20 years ago. See, that's how we allow the past to keep hurting us. Our past can't hurt us unless we keep going over it and over it and over it. And what's so sad about it, the person who might have hurt you might not even be alive still. And you're still holding a grudge. And they are dead, been dead, been dead, died years ago. But you're still holding a grudge. They're still hurting you from the grave. They're still holding on to your power because you won't let go. You can't bury your anger with them. You won't let your resentment go. But you need to, because all you're doing is hurting yourself. Romans 12 and 19 says in the Message Bible, don't insist on getting even. That's not for you to do. I'll do the judging, says God. I'll take care of it. In other words, we can't hold grudges. We can't take vengeance into our own hands. That's God's job, not ours. And we have to know and understand he's going to eventually make everything right, because that's his job. He is the judge of the world. We're not. So we need to get rid of all this bitterness. We need to get rid of this grief. We need to get rid of this guilt. We need to stop holding on to these grudges. We need to start forgiving people. You know, the Word of God tells us to forgive as we have been forgiven. And how have we been forgiven? We've been forgiven completely, totally, and absolutely. So if we've been forgiven, then God expects us to forgive. Just like it says in the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. You know, we feel guilt when we hurt others, but when others hurt us, we hold on to a grudge. That doesn't make any sense. It shouldn't be this way. We want others to forgive us, but we have a difficult time forgiving them, especially when God has forgiven us. Because God said, as you deal it out, so it will be dealt to you. So let me tell you something. We don't need self-help books about how to deal with our guilt, our grief, or our grudge. All we need is the Good Shepherd. We need our Savior. And he is ready to help each and every one of us deal with our damaged emotions. All we have to do is ask him. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. We need to allow God to restore our souls today. We need to really pray. And if we haven't forgiven our brothers or our sister, we need to go forgive them so that we can go to the Father and repent that thing and have him to forgive us. Hallelujah. Because that's the only way that we are going to overcome our guilt, our grief, and our grudges. We have to lay all of that at the Father's feet. We've got to let him just simply have his way, hallelujah, so that we are able to stand against the enemy and his wicked ways. He wants us to stay jacked up. He wants us to stay miserable. He wants us to hold on to our guilt and our shame. He wants us to walk around thinking we're not worthy, because when we do that, then we're not effective soldiers for the kingdom. So now I'm going to throw this on over to our Christian reporter in the streets. Hallelujah. Our very own beautiful sister, Michelle Scott. Come on in here and tell the people what you think about grudges and guilt and grief, girl.
Amen, Bishop, and sorry to everyone for my tardiness. First of all, I just wanted to say, Bishop, that I was so happy when you wanted to do this topic because there are so many people, like you said, that are suffering with the three G's, and it's not just here or in your neighborhood or just in, you know, one particular family. It's happened all over the world. People are holding in guilt for things, like you said, they've done or may have said all over the world. We don't have to sit and name the things one by one that the people are feeling guilty of. The numbers go on. They're holding in, like you said, past griefs and, you know, grudges. And we do have to, you know, turn these things over to God because He doesn't want us to hurt like that. He doesn't want us to live our life in pain like that. He wants us to live our life, like you said, in a more of abundance and joyous. And you can't fly, your heart is heavy, and your wings are too heavy to lift up for takeoff. You can't help that sister
Amen.
Or that brother if you're holding on to so much hurt and pain of your past. Now, true, we all suffer and we go on different journeys and we
yes.
advance differently in life. My struggle is not yours, is not the next one. You may be advanced in one situation than another person, but the ultimate goal is to give it all to God. Yes, we are truly our own worst critics, and when we do something, we feel I'm unworthy of God's love. I'm unworthy of His forgiveness, of Him to. He will never forgive me for what I've done. You know, we think things that we have done are so bad, and we can possibly tell someone, you know, maybe share. And they'll look at you like, are you crazy? I thought you were really finna tell me something. But to you, to the person that's telling them, that really hurt what they did or what they said. Yes, it may be trivial to someone else, but because they felt it was bad, they may have said something wrong or said something about someone or did something hurtful, it's hurtful to them. So we don't want to minimize the listeners, you know, none of us are minimizing you guys' pain. We're just letting you sit. We want you to let it go. You guys have to live. You use your pain and your experiences in life, the hurts and tragedies that you went through, as your living testimonies. There are so many other brothers and sisters that are out there that have suffered similar or the exact same thing. And you could help these people. You could potentially reach out, touch them, tell that sister, been there. I truly been there. And when you begin to testify what you have been through, they will know that you're not fake or phony. They will know that your testimony is true because you will remember certain things, and they will remember the same thing. Your stories will be so similar. It's just like if a person say, like if you lose your father, and then people say, I know how you feel. I can't say that. My parents both are living, so I can never tell a person, you know, I know how you feel. I say, I'm sorry for your loss. You know, I pray, you know, that God will strengthen you and carry you through this, just as through these three G's. I pray that God will strengthen you and carry you through so that you will be a blessing in someone else's life, because that is truly the Lord wants us to be. He's a blessing. Have you ever taken and thought that God, it happened, he allowed it to happen? He didn't make it happen. Let's make that perfectly clear. He didn't make that person abuse you or make those things bad that happened to you happen. He allowed them to happen. Have you ever thought for one second that it happened to you because he knew that there was some inner strength in you, even as that little child, that three-year-old, that seven-year-old, however old you were in life, he knew that there was some strength in you. We're going to make it out. You were going to come to him. He never left you. He was there. He was right there. And I know you're saying, well, why didn't he help? Things happen to us. We don't know why, but they happen. And I believe they happen to make us stronger. They give us more spiritual muscle to help brothers and our sisters. It hurts. I've had those hurts. My children have had those hurts. My family members have. Bishops, we all have had those hurts.
Yes, amen.
But
amen.
We struggle and we strive and we make it through. Tears in our eyes. We call each other. We lean on each other. We pray for each other. We lift each other up and we move on and we press through. It all, we know that God has us to the end, and he has you to the end. Use these things as your testimonies, my brother and my sisters. Please don't give up on God. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn it, but that the world through him might be saved. That's John 3 and 17. It is not God's purpose to condemn you. I don't want you to ever think that it's his purpose to condemn you. His desire is to take away the sins of this world and to keep you from the sin. He wants us to all have a sinless life. Yeah, in a perfect world, everybody would be walking around, you know, like he intended for it to be in the beginning. And in the new order, that may be. But we haven't made it that year. We're still in our earthly body. We have not been given our heavenly bodies yet. So as long as we're here on this earth, we cannot allow the bad things that happen to us. Like my sister said, these people are long gone in their graves and they still have a hold on your life.
Yes,
they
come
still
on.
Have a hold on your heart, your thoughts. You're tossing and you're turning and you can't sleep. You're worrying about things you've done in the past. That's why it's called the past. Leave it there and walk into your future. Walk into your destiny. Help another person with your pain. If you're going to keep remembering your pain, remember that pain for something great, helping another brother or sister. Lift them up with that pain. If you're going to keep drudging up that same thing that happened to you, use it for the good. Don't keep harboring on it and crying about it and harboring on it and bringing it to your servant leaders or your friends. And then you wonder why your friends are becoming fruitful because they're like, look, this person coming to me with the same story. You're not advancing on your journey, and people are here to help you. They want you to advance. Because if we're going to help God build his kingdom, let me let you know something that is true. God don't need no coward soldiers.
Come on. Amen.
He needs you to be strong. He needs you to.
Amen.
And like I said, I know that we all have these hurts and these pains. And for us, he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. That's 2 Corinthians 5 and 21. Jesus did not die for your sins. He took your sins upon himself so he could give you his righteousness. What are you going to do with this great gift of righteousness? Are you going to throw it back in his face? Are you going to stomp on it? Are you going to tread on it? We're supposed to tread on the head of the serpent, Satan, not Jesus Christ. He gave his life for you. Please don't throw it away. Don't throw that great gift away. He loves us so much, and he gave it to us because he wants us to confess our sins. Okay, you did something wrong. When you go to him and confess, this is what I tell you. If you have to sit down with a piece of paper and a pen and write down every sin you remember, because I know some of us have done so much that we can't even remember, you repent in truth. You repent in honesty. And you repent in completeness. Completeness to your ability.
Complete
and you tell
serenity.
Him, Lord, if there is something, anything that I have forgotten, Father God, you know it, and you know my heart. Forgive me of every sin, even the ones that I have yet to remember. And he will
That's
be just
it.
To do so. Please do not harbor on these things, not another second. If God can toss them into the sea of forgiveness and remember them no more, we need to be
you
able to
too.
Do the same. And if you're going to bring them up, like I said, bring them up to pull another one up. God bless you
Ooh, that was good. Hallelujah. I like that. What are you going to do with the gift of righteousness? What are you going to do with that gift of grace? What are you going to do with that gift of joy and peace? When we walk around in our woundedness, we make the Father a liar. See, as a child of God, none of us should be walking around in pain all the time, because the Lord said he came to give us life and life more abundant. The Lord said that he will give us unspeakable joy and peace that surpasses all understanding, and nowhere in that is woundedness. We're overcomers as children of God. We have been spared. We have been saved from so many things, seen and unseen. But I want to, the Lord is laying something on my heart. I want to talk to some of you who may have had lost loved ones, and now because you're dealing with your guilt, maybe you didn't treat that person the way you should have, and maybe so now you're guilty, you're feeling guilty, and you know you can't fix it. So now you've allowed your guilt and your grief to make you hold a grudge against God. Let me tell you something. He can take it. Just don't stop talking to him.
Hallelujah.
Don't stop talking to him. You know, God can take us being angry. God can take us being angry at him. Haven't you ever been angry at your earthly father? But you didn't stop loving him. You didn't stop going to him. You didn't stop trusting or respecting him. And that's the same way we need to be with our heavenly father. No, you can't go back and change yesterday. But the Lord wants you to walk into a bright new today. And he wants you to leave that pain behind. He wants you to let it go. He wants you to allow him to restore your soul. He wants you to allow him to do the work in you that needs to be done. And is it going to be easy? No. No, it's not. But anything that is worth having is worth working for. My salvation is worth fighting for. My place in eternity is worth fighting for. So have I been hurt? Yes. Have I lost things and loved ones? And yes. Has it hurt? Yes. Has people hurt me in my life? Oh, yeah. You know? But I refuse to be a victim. I refuse to drag that around and carry my pain like a banner. Jesus died so I don't have to do that. Yeah, I could talk about being molested. I could talk about being abused by a man. I could talk about that and know of which I speak. But do I dwell on it? No. Like my sister said, do I harp on it? No. Because where is the glory of God in that? I can tell you, he brought me through those things. He strengthened me through those things. I have better discernment now because of those things. I see more clearly now because of those things. I know how to pray for others because I went through those things. I know how to minister to others and counsel others because I went through those things. And you can be sitting in that same spot if you allow God to minister to you. So we're going to let you get in on the conversation, put your praise on it, have a word if you'd like. I see Mother Matty has already had, she already has her one pressed. We're going to go to Mother Matty, and then we're going to hear from Pastor Jeffrey and Apostle Zeta. So good evening, Mother Matty. Good evening, ma'am. God bless you.
God bless you, Bishop Cook. God bless you and your family. God bless you, Evangelist.
Thank you, ma'am.
Michelle Scott. God bless you,
thank
ladies.
You.
God bless Reverend Scott and all the clergy men and all the clergy women that will be on today. I tell you, them words that you ladies spoke was the bomb. It was the bomb. I tell you, this show helps me. It helps me, and it helps other people to understand more about God and more about God's word. The words that both of you spoke were words of wisdom, and it is so true. You cannot reach back for the past, but what you can do, you keep praying. You keep praying to the master, and you keep pressing on and look forward to the future.
Yes, ma'am.
You know, mm-hmm. And sometimes things happen in our life that's pretty painful, and it hurts, but we can't dwell on it. But I tell you, the words that both of you ladies spoke, it really were truly words of wisdom. And like I say, the things that you say, it helps me. It helps me each week. Each week, it helps me each
God.
Week to be stronger in the Lord, because I know sometimes I'm like that. I be thinking about things. I'm sorry such and such a thing happened. I'm sorry such and such a thing happened. But you're right. You can't dwell on it. You just got to pray to God and stay strong and stay in His Word and stay steadfast and unmovable and pray without ceasing and just press on to the future, because God's got it. Whatever it is, God's got it. He's got it. I just commend you, both of you ladies. It's just beautiful words of wisdom. So it helps me and it helps other people. That's beautiful. It's wonderful. Keep the excellent work up. Keep it up. God bless you all.
God bless you, Mother Matty. We love you, ma'am. We love you so much. That just
I love you
heart.
All, too.
We love you,
I love
and we
you
thank
all
you
too.
For your words of wisdom every week, because you always come right on in, and you always have a good point to make, or you bring us a word of wisdom as well. You know, it's so wonderful being one body in Christ and working together for one purpose, and that's the cause, you know, and that's the purpose of the kingdom. We're kingdom builders, and we're trying to point people to Jesus, but it's wonderful when people can hear our love and our unity and our concern for one another, because that's the truest demonstration of the love of Jesus Christ. So, Reverend Scott, Pastor Scott, Brother Scott, hallelujah, come on in the room, and then
hallelujah.
We'll go to Apostle Zeta. Hey, amen. Come on in the room, my
amen.
Brother. Good evening,
amen.
Sir.
God bless you. God bless you.
God bless you. God bless you.
I know this is kind of a touchy subject, you know, because at one point it allows us to focus on some of the things that others do, but then it puts the mirror up for us to look at ourselves and what we can do to get past, so we can get past the things that somebody else has done to us, or or things that we have been blamed for. You know, so the big thing is looking at ourselves and what we can do about, you know, how we're feeling. You know, and if the Bible says we can do all things through Christ that strengthens us, that means that we can
Amen.
Make it through anything
Hallelujah.
That we're feeling, any form of guilt
mm-hmm.
or any form of anything. We can get beyond that, but we can't do it
yes.
alone by ourselves. The only way we could do it
That's
is
right.
through Christ. We have
That's
to
right.
acknowledge the power of God in this. You know,
mm-hmm.
So many times it seems like the right thing to do is to hold on to anger because it makes you feel better. For some
mm-hmm.
reason, holding on to anger against somebody may make you feel better for that moment. But then if you release it and you give it up to God, you'll be able to understand that joy that he's put inside
yes.
of you already. And you can live with that joy in your heart, and you can live
Amen.
Daily with that. It's still
Amen.
Providing, you know, everything that you need with trying to get through the situation. Sometimes it's like you have to smile at somebody that frowns at you. You know,
Amen. That's right.
It's tough
right.
to do, but if
mm-hmm.
we are who we say we are. And we are
mm-hmm.
who God calls us, then we can do that through Christ who strengthens us.
Amen.
And so and the Bible also says, when I am weak, thou art strong. So that
Amen.
Means that we
That's
have to
right.
let go and let God
and let
have
God.
His way in our life.
Yes.
Let God have his way. When I'm
yes.
feeling angry,
Amen.
Let God have his way. When I'm feeling upset, let God
yeah.
have his way. When
that's
I'm feeling
right,
guilty,
that's
let
right.
God have his way because
Come on,
when
preacher.
God has his way, all things work
that's
together
right.
for the good of them that love God and who are called according to
that's
his
right.
purpose. And we
that's
have to
right
really
now.
Understand that. It's going to work out God's
yeah.
way.
Mm-hmm.
And so
yeah.
I appreciate the time. I appreciate you guys talking about this. It's very strengthening. And
Amen.
I really appreciate it. God bless you.
Amen. Thank you. Thank
Amen.
You so much. You
yes.
know, I like what you said because it really is true, especially now in these times more than ever. You know, it would be easy for us as a people to hold grudges against other people. Be real easy. But we're children mm-hmm. of God. We're children of light. So right now, and the Lord tells us, do not repay evil with evil. He said he shall repay. So, and we know that he's going to make all things right. So right about now, we don't, you know, we not hold grudges against our brother for their transgressions of the past. You know,
mm-hmm.
we're not, and we're not going to walk around and feel guilty for being black.
Amen.
No.
Okay? Amen.
We're not going to apologize for being black, and
no.
we're not going to hold your transgressions against you. We're children of God.
Yes.
We have given up the, when it comes to, at least for the people that are gathered here in this assembly, you know, we're past talking and beating the problem to death. We're about bringing about solutions, and we do that through
Hallelujah.
The word of God, through prayer, through the love
mm-hmm.
of God, and that means demonstrating that love on every level. And if we have to check ourselves and make sure, you know, people like to throw around words like, you know, oh, I got PTSD, and I've got, you know, I've got ADHD, and you know what, I got Jesus.
That's right.
I got Jesus.
G-O-D. That's right.
I got G-O-D.
Mm-hmm.
And he got all the degrees. He got all the degrees.
Right.
He know everything. He's a specialist. He specializes.
It is
so,
right.
you know, we just need to know that we don't have mm-hmm. to carry around this pain, the guilt, the grudges, the grief. You know, we are losing a lot of our loved ones. And you know, I want people to remember that there was a lot. There's going to be life after COVID-19, and there was life before COVID-19. And there are people
mm-hmm.
that are losing their loved ones to cancer and to all kinds of diseases that were here long before this virus was here. and they're grieving. So, you know, what we need to do as children of God is to reach out when we can. And sometimes it's like Evangelist Michelle said, we can't be talking about I know how you feel when we don't. You know, sometimes just being there for somebody, just sitting with them, you know, that can be more of a help than anything. You know, or maybe just cooking them or something to eat and just leaving it on the table. You know, we can think of things as Christians to do that we can bless people while they're grieving and while they're going through to make their process easier. Okay, we got her back now. All right, Apostle Zeta, you ready to come on in the room?
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, can you hear me?
Uh-huh.
Oh, good. Okay, we're having a little bit of turbulence. I'm on Amtrak, and we came through, you know, the mountains, I guess. And that kind of shut us off. But I've enjoyed everything. I have heard it all, and it's been really good from Bishop Charlene Cook as well as Evangelist Michelle. It's just been really good, and I, you know, just took stock of everything that I heard concerning the people being grudgeful and feeling guilty and knowing that we don't have to,
that's right.
God has made a way for us to be restored. And as Evangelist Michelle said earlier, we must allow him to work on us. You know, some people want to hold on to things. Sometimes, yes, we've been hurt. People have done us wrong, done us in, did all kinds of things. But sometimes our problem is trying to justify our actions and our continuing to want to be angry over it. But there's no justification in it. No matter how we look at it, because God is not pleased. And our ultimate goal as his people should be to please God in every way that we can. So, as someone said, too, we are overcomers. And we are overcomers in Christ Jesus. So you know, we can be restored. He will restore us. He does restore our souls. You know, but sometimes we want to let that flesh side of us, you know, act up. And when that happens, then, you know, we're acting no different than the ones that hurt us.
That's right.
The ones
that are
against us.
That's right.
We have to let go of things. We just have to. We have to be forgiving, no matter how hard it is. And sometimes we have to even ask God to help us. Help us
forgive.
To help us. Which you would
help me to help myself.
Help us to be forgiving because you did forgive us. And so,
amen.
We have to be likewise. So
yes, ma'am.
Anyway, I'm glad I was able to get on. I wasn't sure. But I praise God.
You made it.
Praise the Lord. And all that he's doing.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
God is so good. I've just really, I know I've enjoyed these comments. And what we have to understand, when we forgive others, not for them, but for us. Because if we want to be forgiven by God, if we want God, Jesus to forgive us, we have to forgive other people. And plus that, as long as we walk around in unforgiveness, that person has power over us. They have power because they have the power to have us to responding from that anger instead of responding in a way that God would be pleased with, like Apostle Zeta just said, and Evangelist Michelle, and Mother Matty, and Reverend Scott said, you know, we are children of God, and we need to We need to carry ourselves like children of God. And children of God should not be walking around grieving something all the time. I tell you, I know for a fact that the Scott family and Apostle Flowers, both of these families, they have endured several people transitioning at the same, you know, very close together. But they have been here. They have been faithful. They are, you know, they're not falling out and being dramatic and, oh, my, we lost another one, and I just can't take another few. No, you know, okay, they have people that are transitioning to glory. They get it, you know, but their thing is, what am I doing with the time I have remaining? Am I leading somebody to Jesus? Am I trying to use the time that God has given me wisely?
Amen.
Am I honoring that person that went on to glory, especially if they were, we know that they were there, they were in the Lord, the way we, instead of walking around in pain, honor them by the way you live your life in Christ Jesus. Honor them. You know, don't be walking around wounded. Because even if you didn't have a good rapport with somebody, they know how you really felt deep down inside. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. A lot of anger is nothing but hurt. It's nothing but hurt.
Yeah.
But I also tell people, make your peace and give people their flowers while they living. Because once they gone, you're standing up beside their grave, a boo-hooing and a snotting and a crying. It's not going to do them any good.
No.
You need to forgive whatever that thing is, because when you forgive it, then you get a release from the Lord. When you forgive it, and when you hit that hatred with love, when you hit that pain with grace and mercy of God, when you hit that thing with the favor of God, oh, hallelujah, it's got to go. Pain has to go.
Big.
You know.
And that's why I said, Bishop, when we call ourselves repenting unto God, that's why I said, if you got to write it down, because don't be trying to act like you're repenting to God and stuff. He knows all and he sees all. So don't be trying to ask, repent, you know. Tell it all. Tell the dirt. Tell the dirt.
And repentance means more than saying, I'm sorry. Do you hear me?
Hello.
Repentance means more than just going up there talking about I'm sorry. No.
Hey,
repentance means you go up there, you repent that thing, and then you do like Jesus told the woman. Go and sin no more. That's what repentance is. You don't go up there. There is no point. It's, okay, sisters, say you shacking with a man. When there's no judgment here. We just be keeping it real.
Now,
we know some of you in and after church are shacking. Okay. There is no point of you going up there talking about, Lord, I'm up here repenting of fornication, when you know all you're doing is waiting for Brother Man to come home from work. And y'all still living together. Now, if you really got to repent, when Pookie get back to the house, his clothes will be packed and sitting outside. That's repentance.
Big on it.
That's right.
You know, move, you move.
That's right.
Yeah, and if he ain't going, your stuff be packed and you already be gone, and there should be some contract outside which that shows how fast you was getting away. That's repentance.
Yeah.
You know, we can't just go up there, oh, Lord, I'm sorry. And look, because I know me. I know my personality. I go up there and say, Lord, do a work in spite of me, okay? You have my permission. Do whatever you need to do. Just do it. Just do it. You don't need my permission. You already have that. You got carte blanche. Whatever needs to be done, take it out, move it. I don't want nothing separating me from you. You did not come, you did not die for me to walk around being in pain all the time and to be complaining all the time about my pain, because, you know, that's another thing. Some of us have been delivered from things we've been grieving about. We grieve about our health. We grieve about lost loved ones. We grieve, grieve, grieve. And the Lord deliver us, mm-hmm. right? But we still want to keep it. We want to pick it back up like a crutch. You know? We're going to pick it back up like a crutch. For what? If you've been healed, stay healed. Amen.
Come on.
If not, let God walk you through the process so you can be healed. You know, I mean, you can't, you know, because, I mean, really, if you really have been healed, if God has truly healed you, you know, he will heal you where you don't even have scars. Okay?
You better talk
That's
about
right.
it.
With me, Shaq, Shadrach, and the big to go came out of that furnace, they just smell like smoke. Think about that.
Let's talk.
That's right.
Real.
You know, when God is doing something and he's bringing you out and he is healing you, you're healed through and through on that issue. And you don't have to keep trying to pick it back up. You don't have to see, you know, keep peeping around the corner like it's going to ease back up.
Yeah.
The only way it's going to ease back up is if you pick it back up.
Yeah.
But when God has healed you, you're healed. Stay healed. Believe that you're healed. And because there's a lot of people that's not walking in their call right now because of guilt.
Oh, I did this way back in 1972.
Amen.
And I know that was, you know, I know this wasn't right.
You act like Jesus didn't die for all sin. The Word of God didn't say he died for some sin and he died for some people. It says,
for
God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whosoever believeth on him, it didn't say, well, I'm a sort of die for some of the people, kind of sort.
Come on.
Let me tell you something.
Mm-hmm.
I, Jesus, bled and died. He didn't swoon on that cross. He didn't faint on that cross. He died.
Mm-hmm.
They stretched him high and hung him wide. They hung him high and stretched him wide.
Yeah.
And he died.
Yeah.
They buried our Lord and Savior. And on the third day, he rose.
Come on.
Okay. Went back down into the hell, took everything that belonged to our Daddy, Father God, including the keys to the kingdom.
Jesus.
See, what Jesus said, it is finished on that cross, what he was saying is, your salvation is finished. Your healing is finished. Your forgiveness is finished. Your unconditional love is all finished. It's all done. It's all ready for you. All you have to do is walk in it.
He meant that thing.
You got to call it out. Let you know, just let me know. As these young people said, let me know something. God knows everything. But he be like, let me know something. Holler if you hear
me. That's all right. That's all right.
You know, holler if you hear me. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Let me know that you hear my word. Let me, because the Lord likes us for us to talk to him, not just with our lips, but with our service. Holly, if you hear me, let me know that you my child.
Yeah.
That's right.
You know? Let me know. Let me see you reaching others for the kingdom. Let me see you using your testimony to help someone else come up.
Yes, Lord.
You know?
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Let me see you. Let me see you.
Mm-hmm.
See, what we don't need are a bunch of fancy preachers. What we don't need is a bunch of prosperity messages. What we do need is the good shepherd, Jesus. That's what we need.
Yeah.
In all things and at all times. We need the healer of our souls, the restorer of our souls, the lifter of our heads.
Mm-hmm.
And when he lifts, he lifts. When he restores, he restores. Our Father God doesn't do half anything. He does everything completely, totally, lovingly, permanently. So we just pray that on tonight that all of you have been blessed. You can receive the word. But before we leave, we're just going to go ahead and pray for all of you who may be struggling with your guilt or your grief or your grudges. And like I said, this is not about judgment. We want you to come up and get past that. And as our brother said, as Pastor Scott said, we can do all things through Christ. And Christ can do all things but fail. We are overcomers. We were not created to walk around in pain, to be bowed over with our pain and our weighing us down, our hurt and our brokenness weighing us down. We were created for worship and for dominion and for authority and purpose. And we can't, like my sister said, we can't fly if our hearts are heavy and our wings are weighed down with our worries. So we're just going to pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we just pray right now in the name of Jesus that you had your way. Lord God, I just want to thank you for Mother Mattie and Pastor Scott and for Apostle Zeta as well as my beautiful sister. Lord, I thank you for using us all to come together and to spread and give a word to your people. Father, we are one body in Christ, and we touch and agree according to your holy word. Now, Lord, we just come praying for all of those who may be struggling with their guilt. You have declared and decreed in your word there is therefore now no condemnation to those who walk after you, Father God. We want you to remind them, Father God, that they are loved, and they are loved with an everlasting love. So they can lay their guilt down, Lord. They can lay their pain of shame down, Father God, in the name of Jesus.
In the name
and, Lord,
of
we come praying for all of those who may be grieving. You said, Lord, that you would comfort those who mourn. And, Lord God, we know that you are the you have given us the great comforter, the one that can bring us through all of our hurt, all of our pain, Lord God, the one that will walk us through, that will show us, that will cause us to be able to pray, Father God. He will lift our prayers up to the Heavenly Father. He will pity every groan, Lord God, even when we can't speak, Lord. He will interpret our tears, Lord. And give it to you. And Father God, we just want to thank you for your son, Jesus, who died on the cross, who is praying with us. And Lord, so that we might not hold grudges against one another. Lord, let us lay it down. Let us forgive one another as you have forgiven us. Let us learn to walk in more love, Lord. Let us declare, Lord, and decree that you reign in our lives, by not just by what we say, but by what we do. I want to thank you for what you're doing in the lives of each and every listener here, Father God. And we just pray for all of those around the world, Lord, who are feeling like they are oppressed and they're discouraged. They're feeling unworthy, Father God. Be the lifter of their heads now. Lord God, we just pray that you would lift them up, Lord, that you would bless them as only you can. We want to thank you again, Lord, for this opportunity, and we give you all the honor and the glory and the praise. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. And to God be the glory.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank God.
This has been your sisters. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Bishop Shirlene and Evangelist Michelle. And we have been talking to you, sister to sister. Tonight we have been talking about overcoming the three G's, guilt, grief, and grudges. Because when you hold on to all of them, you're not going to be better, but you most certainly will be bitter. And we don't want you to be bitter. We want you to live the abundant life in Christ, because that's why he came. So on behalf of all of us here at the Spirit Alive Network, myself, Evangelist Michelle, Mother Matt T, Pastor Jeffrey Scott, Apostle Zeta Flowers, hallelujah, and all of the rest of you that were in here listening. And we just want to say we love you. God bless
you.
Go in peace.
God bless you.
And we just pray that you continue to have a beautiful and blessed week. And from our household to your household, it is our fervent prayer that you be ye transformed. Good night, everybody. God bless you.
Good night.
Good night.
God bless you.
Good night.
Good night.